evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the council meeting for July 21st, 2015. The time now is 7 p.m. Ms. Moot, will you call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Westmoreland, Camp, and Gearing.
Thank you. And we did hear from Councilmember Davis that he would not be here this evening. So we will consider Councilmember Camp. You're here. Yes. Councilmember Davis has excused and anticipate that Councilmember Gamble may be in shortly. Councilmember Camp, that's why I was thinking of you. Will you lead us in the pledge, please? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on this evening's agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. I do have a sign-in sheet. Ms. Sarah Lundstrom, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
I just came to talk to you a little bit about poverty. We're talking about panhandling today, I know, and in case you've forgotten, I work for Take the Next Step, the community resource center in town, and taking a position kind of against people giving money to panhandlers, but rather to give to organizations that help the people asking for money on the side of the street and make sure those funds go to good things and positive things, but I want to give you a little background information on poverty and how people kind of get into the position of panhandling. Poverty is not a choice for most of the poor, a majority of the poor who can work do. The poor often characterize as shiftless and lazy, choosing to be poor and unemployed. As politicians work to cut safety net programs like food stamps and housing assistance, they tell us that benefits like unemployment or welfare make for such a comfortable lifestyle that the poor will choose unemployment over work. In reality, the majority of people living in poverty who can work do. In 2013, 35% of the poor between the ages of 18 and 64 were considered not currently eligible for work because they were retired or disabled or going to school. The other 65% of the working poor or age poor. The other 65% of working age poor are currently eligible to work. And this study by the Economic Policy Institute found that among the currently eligible workers, 63% are working and 44% of them are working full-time. So many of the poor are working, but we have a discrepancy between wage and what's a living wage. And so 78% of the homeless families in Snohomish County are led by a single mother. The federal poverty line for a single mom with two kids is an income of less than $20,090 per year. So that single mom works full-time at minimum wage, her family will still be below the poverty line. As we know, minimum wage is $9.47 per hour, so the rent affordable at that wage is $492 a month, while the average price of a one-bedroom apartment in Snohomish County is $1,056 per month. So there's a huge discrepancy there. You'd have to work 97 hours per week on the minimum wage to be able to afford that one-bedroom apartment. And that's a one-bedroom apartment for three people, if we're keeping with this example. So the actual hourly wage required to afford a one-bedroom apartment in Snohomish County is $21.69 per hour. Because of this discrepancy, there are 24% of households in Snohomish County who pay more than 50% of their income for housing, when it's considered that to be able to afford your rent, you pay 30% of your income or less. And to bring that back home, in Monroe, 721 households rent, and 50.8% cannot afford their rent, according to Snohomish County Quick Facts. So that's just slightly over half of the households in Monroe cannot afford their rent. And so I just want to emphasize the need for more affordable housing in Monroe. I think that if we had more affordable housing in Monroe, that we could hopefully house some of these working poor who are working but still can't afford the rent that the rent prices that we have in Snohomish County. So if you have any influence on tax breaks or something that could bring more affordable housing to Monroe, I think that would be awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who has signed up to this is where paper can go. Here we go. Is Michael Lorio? Mr. Lorio, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize for double stacking. My name is Pastor Michael Lorio. My address is 16024 173rd Avenue, Southeast Monroe. And I am also a staff member at Take the Next Step. And we just wanted to encourage and offer our respect to the idea of working on the panhandling issue, but also hope that we can encourage City Council to use its tremendous clout to help us defeat the whole poverty and homeless issue in our community by using its influence on a broader spectrum. As Sarah was talking about affordable housing and the issue of what poverty looks like in our community, and how easy it is for us to, for somebody to be on the poverty line, and how easy it is for somebody to fall into actual homelessness. As easy as it is to fall into homelessness, that's how difficult it is to get out of homelessness, especially in East Snohomish County. What we're talking about is really the access to resources that are available here in our local community. The idea of being able to gain access to health insurance. One important issue is the issue of substance abuse and finding treatment for substance abuse, as well as mental health issues. So though even if somebody makes the life-changing decision to want to go into a drug treatment program or find help with their mental health issues, currently right now the wait for an assessment for somebody in residence in Monroe or East County is between 2 and 3 weeks. So if you know anything about mental health issues or substance abuse issues, 2 or 3 weeks is a lifetime of things possibly happening to derail that positive choice that you've made. In a similar vein, when we talk about things of that nature, it's easy for us to hear that, say, just as an example, Evergreen Manor in Everett had an open house today for assessments. And we hear that, and it's easy to have a perspective of saying, see, there are things going on, but that doesn't take into the particulars of what type of health insurance they accept and what programs they're willing to get people into. And so there's multiple layers that are needed to be answered as we try to address this situation, even though we do want to see action taken on the legal level. We're hoping for a community-wide action. Again, one of the most difficult issues that we have in our area is the affordable housing issue. And as an example, housing program that has come into Monroe and is building new units, there's already a 2 to 5 year waiting list for anybody who wants to try to be a part of that program. And so as we look at these issues, it can be easy to direct our attention to something very particular like the panhandle issue. But our desire to see change happen for our community and for our community to be everything that it can. It requires community action on every level. As an example, the town of Snohomish actually has an affordable housing apartment unit that was brought together not by a nonprofit, not by local government, not by state government or federal government, just by local business owners that got together and decided that something needed to be done in order to change how the community responded to this issue. And so together we're hoping that if we can combine all of our efforts, those of the nonprofits, those of city, local, state, federal government, and as well as citizens, then we can really begin to see change happen in this issue, where we are not only addressing a symptom, but we're trying to help people make life change and be able to actually address the real issue together and make a difference. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to to the consent agenda. But before I do that, please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble entered council chambers at about 7:03 during Ms. Lundstrom's comments. All right, consent agenda, council. Is there a motion? Councilmember Cutback.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second. We have a first from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business number 1, AD 15127, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. Mr. Osaka.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm not sure I have an entirely lot of new information to provide to you, but let me just give you a sense of where we are again right now. Planning Commission met last night, went through the land use element, went through the housing element. So of the 10 elements or chapters in the comprehensive plan, they are now through 9 of them. And next Monday, they will go through the 10th chapter, which is economic development. I'm hoping at that point they wrap up all their comments. As we've been going through this process, all the comments have been going to the consultant. And I've talked to the consultant, and he's been updating the various chapters as we've been going along. So my hope is that the Planning Commission will finish up their last review of the last chapter. Those will get passed on to the consultant. Maybe give the Planning Commission 1 week off, and give the consultant a couple of weeks to put together a final package or a final document. Planning Commission would like to have one final document reflecting their recommendations to forward on to you. So I'm hoping that will get done within a couple of weeks. That puts us in about mid-August. We'll need some time to develop some findings if the Planning Commission is comfortable with it, so I can see the actual comprehensive plan getting recommended to you sometime in August and landing before you sometime in September for a public hearing. Next week on the agenda, there'll be a resolution that will identify, I believe, September 29th or September 30th as a new target date to complete the comprehensive plan process. And then what I'm thinking is using some of the time in August, on August 11th at your meeting, I believe Public Works Director Feilberg is going to be talking to you about impact fees, traffic impact fees. And the Planning Commission actually spent about 3 hours talking about the transportation element, so it'll be a good time to use that meeting, kind of dovetail the transportation element with some of the discussion that Brad will have on transportation impact fees. And then I'm also thinking, if he's willing to do it, to get the Planning Commission chair to actually come here at a meeting and maybe in August, just to kind of give you a sense of maybe what were the 4 or 5 key issues that the Planning Commission discussed during the course of its deliberation. I was actually thinking of doing it myself, but I actually think it would be better if you heard from the Planning Commission chair rather than staff. So hopefully, if Chair Christensen is willing to come to another meeting in August, maybe we can get him before you, before this actually lands before you, and he can talk to you about what the Planning Commission has been discussing and maybe what some of the key issues they've had as part of this process. But that's my presentation tonight. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Council, do you have any questions or comments? Thank you very much, Mr. Osaka.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll note that we have on the agenda 3 executive session items. There will be a fourth one added as well. I'm going to propose that, actually I'm going to request that unless there's objection to have one of those executive sessions at this point, and that the remaining, what it will now be 3, to precede council member reports, that is to say to follow new business. So with that said, we're going to go into executive session in this room for potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection double little I, or little double I, for 10 minutes with the potential of action to follow. Councilmember Camp.
I'm just curious, is there a reason to attempt all 4 of them after the end of the session?
Yes. Thank you. So we're going to go into executive session for about 10 minutes. We normally would move to another room, but there's some chairs out there. Feel free to go ahead and make them into a horseshoe or however. Thank you. Okay, we are back in open session. The next item that we have on the agenda is under new business. This is new business number one, AB 15-128, discussion panhandling regulations. First into and this is regarding MMC 9.35. Got the mic.
Well, this evening we're discuss a few of the regulations here. Panhandling, that isn't a technical name for it. It's solicitation regulations. And first thing we'll do is look at some of the definitions. Criminal trespass, knowingly and not licensed or privileged to do so. An example is when someone enters or remains unlawfully in or upon the premises of another. And disorderly conduct disturbs the peace, endangers the safety of others. Examples are makes noise, which is unreasonable, disturbs others, obstructs pedestrian or vehicular traffic, willingly gives false alarm of a fire, is intoxicated in public, uses vulgar, profane, or obscene language in public. Solicitation panhandling, acts of aggressive solicitation, acts that enhance a sense of fear and intimidation in the person being solicited or poses a risk to public safety. Some of the examples are to approach a person in a manner as to intimidate or threaten that person with a criminal act, to approach within 1 foot of another without permission, to solicit, to persist after being told no, to block passage of a pedestrian or vehicle traffic while soliciting, and to make false representations in the course of a solicitation. Solicitation is governed, remember, by the time of day and location within the city. Trespass and disorderly conduct and solicitation are crimes against a person or persons, and these crimes require a victim. They are not crimes against society. In other words, if one of these violations has occurred, the victim needs to get a hold of the police department, not Facebook, or not their neighbor. They need to get a hold of the police department, because if they don't do that, it didn't occur. As far as prosecution, there won't be a prosecution. If the reporting party to one of these crimes does not provide specific information as to the nature of the offense, and it does not happen in the presence of an officer, it cannot be prosecuted. Of course, if it happens in the presence of an officer, it can be prosecuted. The regulation of solicitation, no new or innovative municipal codes that we're aware of, or the city attorney is aware of. We haven't seen anything. In other words, innovative that we don't have here in Monroe right now. Courts are sensitive to anything be construed as targeting indigent people. The act of asking for material items or favors from another isn't a crime. And MMCs that RMC is similar to Everett, Marysville, Edmonds, and Mount Vernon. These are some of the cities we looked at. The only differences are specific to the city, such as locations where solicitation is not allowed. And I've listed a couple there: ATM machines, bus stops, or certain intersections. There you have it.
Council members, do you have any questions, comments? Councilmember Gamble?
No, I just wanted to clarify, I know from the beginning of the presentation, I mean, this is all existing. This is already what we have in place. There's no changes.
Right.
And that, really, I mean, we've heard a lot about it in, as you made mention, in social media and across, and actually in one of the meetings here, but no complaints have been filed through the police department as of today. Is that correct?
The complaints, no, we really haven't had a great number. If hardly, I don't recall any at this point to the police department. If we get a complaint, we'll have it on record. We can build a review of the records, and if it's in a certain location, then we can eventually ask that the MMC addresses that particular location. But we haven't had it before. All we hear about is on social media or anecdotally here at the council chambers here about a month ago. And every one of those individuals that came in and spoke to you was describing aggressive panhandling or solicitation. If we had been called and they had stayed in the vicinity and we could have contacted them, every one of those situations would have resulted in an arrest. But we never heard about it.
So really, I mean, it's more of an education.
Absolutely.
Campaign.
And again, it's, you know, I said in the presentation here, it's not a crime against society, it's a crime against an individual or a victim, and that victim needs to get a hold of us. And you know, if they don't get a hold of us, it's not prosecutable.
All right, thanks.
From a staff perspective, we've talked about, and we also talked in committee about doing an educational campaign. So if council would like to use the regulations as currently adopted, that we could certainly do things like put things in the utility bills, do a campaign on the local media about what it means if you're approached in a certain way on private property and things along those lines. So that is something that we certainly talked about in committee that I am prepared to work with staff on to have just an insert put in the utility bill and do an educational campaign on that. And this is Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. So first of all, I wanted to thank the people here that spoke tonight, and thank you for your work with helping with our community. I love the idea of doing the education material in a city bill to help spread the word, but in my mind, these regulations are exactly what we need at this point. I believe we should have like a two-pronged approach where we're targeting citizens so they know what they need to do, and we can do that via the utility bill, social media, our website. But the second prong would be to enforce with or educate the store owners and through the chamber, possibly, so that they're aware that they can take the action to remove, to make the call to the police to help remove the individual that's on their private property. So I look at all these regulations, in my mind, it looks like people just need to start calling and being active. I don't see any need to change these, but I would say, to my knowledge, the only times that I've seen panhandlers have been in grocery store parking lots. So that would be like the first people we would want the chamber to contact. So I don't know, Mayor, if that's something you spearhead because of your close relationship with Una or not, but that would be great. Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. And thank you, Chief, for the presentation. I was just curious, in addition to the educational aspect of it and the enforcement, emphasis patrols in particular areas that we hear about on Facebook or some social media on occasion. I know the police department has a lot of things that the team is doing, but would that help? Do you think it would help at all?
There are certain areas that we could do that, but what we are looking for primarily is not just solicitation, but is aggressive solicitation. And
We could use some officers, I guess the common term is undercover officers, to see if, you know, they're aggressively solicited at times. We could do that, but I really think the best way is if a citizen feels that they are being harassed or aggressively solicitation is occurring, they give us a call and we will address the issue at that time. If we understand that there's a problem in a particular area, we will take some type of action to address that area. But we have to know about it first. And you see a lot of individuals, and not a lot, but a number of individuals standing on the corner or in the parking lots with a sign that's, you know, is asking for money or asking for food or something like that. That's not illegal. It's not illegal until the store owner comes up and said, I did not give them permission to solicit on my property, and then it's a trespassing situation. But we haven't got those calls, and I think it's one thing that we can do is contact the business owners and advise them of what they can do to address you know, the solicitation in the parking lots.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. I'm in agreement with what was said. I think education is the key. Education for citizens, education for businesses. We have a code on the books that I think protects citizens against aggressive solicitation, so it's just educating the public about that. And I think it's important to understand that in the code there's not an outright ban on people asking for help. So I think what we have is good, and if we continue to get comments or calls, formal calls to the police, that at that time, you know, we continue to look at the ordinance, but we just build that record and see if there are instances in our community that need to look at specifically. So.
Thank you. Anything further, Council? Okay, what I will be doing then is I will work with staff to develop an informational piece for residents to go out in a utility bill, and we'll also be looking at the city's Facebook and website, and then I will work with the chamber on education through the business community also, and probably get out a similar flyer to the business community. I think that's all that we have for that item. We now have a need for three executive sessions. These are each potential litigation. RCW 42.30.110, 1ii, and this will be for approximately, shall we start with 20 minutes, with action potentially to follow. Okay. All right. We're back in regular session. We're going to go ahead and go into council member reports. Please note that we do have an email that came in yesterday about parking in the downtown, and so we will cover that after going through council member reports and everything. Council member Kieran.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Council member Gamble.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the bit of less heat, right? Right. Last week, last Wednesday, what a fantastic event, Farmers Market down there at Travelers Park. I think I saw Ben. Did you make it there, or was it just your lookalike?
I was there.
I thought I saw you. You had a backpack.
You had a backpack on.
Yeah.
I waved to you.
Yeah. Oh, you did. Oh, I.
Yeah.
You talked for like 10 minutes.
Well, no. No, there was live music. They had, you know, kind of a beer garden, you know, deal going on. The Banner Days did an outstanding job on music, local musical talent. It was just, it was great. What a great event. Very excited about, you know, the future of the farmers markets there. And it was just see that, you know, commerce was being done, which was, you know, great from local businesses and vendors and farmers, and then just the buzz that was afterwards on social media about it, it was all positive, all very, very positive. And I did even see people leak over into the businesses that were, you know, the, using the parking lots there, whether it was Sahara Pizza or Grocery Outlet or that sort of thing. But it was just, it was a great event. I went down there, and my wife and I, we took in the concert, and then hit the booths. So, very, very neat. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Rasmus.
Last week I got to hang out with some of the umpires and managers from the NSA World Series. They gathered at the club before the big tournament, and other weekends there. And that was actually fun to talk to everyone and see where they're coming from, and just cool to know that they were here. I mean, just the crowd that tournament drew was incredible, and then seeing all the pictures and everything from at the park was just amazing. So, other than that, spent the weekend up north, earned some new
hardware. Nice.
Look at that.
Team placed 44th out of 359, so we were pretty stoked about that. So, it was good stuff.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Attended the groundbreaking for Turning Place Extension. I know Councilmember Gearing and Davis were there, so it's exciting to have that start, and we've been talking about it so long, and I think it's a key piece to get people off Highway 2, and as Councilman Gearing said, some of his comments that day were, you know, it's really going to relieve the citizens and give an alternate route, and so they don't have to go on Highway 2, so...
Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, thanks. I watched the video on social media. That was really cool to watch. I wasn't able to attend. I also was not able to attend, although I was hoping to attend the farmer's market. But what a great... I did drive by later on in the evening. What a great idea. What a great location. I think now that the barista problem that was on the corner there, now that's gone. I think now that's just opened up that whole area because it's family friendly now. And I mean, what a perfect location. There's a lot of parking. It's a street that's seldomly used, really. And I think it's going to be excellent. So,
thank you. I'm sorry, Councilmember Ketchup.
Sorry, I forgot something in your mention of the NS or the World Series there. I did also receive an email from Matt Campbell, who's the VP Administration from Little League. I know I mentioned it last week that we probably would be, you know, I'll forward that, but they did bring up the fences and the netting, but they were very complimentary to council, to the city staff on the work that has been done over the last year and the improvements to the ball fields and stuff, and that was first and foremost on there, and then they brought up the netting thing that we talked about. So I'll forward that on, but that's coming.
Thank you. Mr. Osaki.
Okay.
Chief. Okay. Let's go ahead and address the... So we got an email last night, council members got an email last night about parking in the downtown and how that's impacting residents in the downtown. So I've asked Jean to put together this aerial photo that shows the parking that was adopted and also the residential units in the downtown. Note that I understand that there may be where there's a number one at Blakely and West Main, there may be 9 people living there.
9
units there. So that's something to be aware of as you're looking at this. Gene, can I go ahead and...
Yeah, other than that, if you look at the small spreadsheet handle that was given out, the number of units corresponds with the block numbers that are on the permit now.
So the comments that we received in email were about how the four-hour parking affects residents in the downtown, that the, you know, that just basically presents a problem for residents in the downtown. Any council members? Sir, go ahead.
In talking with Brad via telephone this afternoon, doing parking passes is something we can certainly do in the city of Monroe. We have to put a program in place. We have to, the enforcement process, but it is something that could be done, and it does work in other communities. Something to consider and discuss.
One of the things that we have the ability to do is bring this back to another council meeting where we can go over what was there before, because I, you know, that would be something that would be important to see, is just what council changed out there, what was 24-hour parking before, and then see what sort of changes council might want to make. Councilmember Cutaback and then Rasmussen.
And I saw the email, was it by resident Rachel? And so I didn't know if where that the parking limitations were 8 to 6, and if that helps at all, because a resident could park at 2 in the afternoon and be good, because
it was a night shift thing.
You know,
you worked a night shift.
So it's being there during the day is part of the issue. Okay, I just didn't know if you're aware that it's only 8 to 6, and hopefully it helps some people, but it might not solve all the issues.
And I know that it's a little bit out of order, but Ms. Storm wasn't here for public comment, and she can certainly come up and say a few words if that's okay with council about it. Come on up. State your name and address for the record. I appreciate it.
My name is Rachel Strom, and I live at 126 West Main Street, apartment number 7 in Monroe. And one of the parks issues with the parking thing is, I know 3 people in my unit all are within the building, different units. They all work at the same place in Woodinville, and they carpool. So if they wanted to leave their car parked in front of the residence all day by carpooling, which is good for the environment, they could leave their car there. And the side streets that are immediately right off of where our apartment is anyway, are congested every day with side street parking. There is almost no extra parking available. So we would most likely be circling the block or parking 5 or 6 blocks away before the streets are going to open a little bit for public parking.
In which units are you talking about? Oh, it's the one with the one on
it. It's the one with the one, but there's 9 residential and 1 commercial unit there.
Okay, and did you have 24-hour parking before on, like, West Fremont Street?
We do. That street right now is currently 24-hour parking.
Okay. So that would have been the change that would have impacted your residence in particular, is changing that from 24 to 4-hour parking.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right. So, council, would you like to have this come back to a future agenda for further discussion?
I think so, for residents.
So what I'll do then is you'll hear us talk about something called the extended agenda here shortly. And at that time, we'll hear what date we're tentatively putting it on for the future. All right, let me go through some of the things that I did last week. Number one, we had the ball fields, the groundbreaking ceremony for the synthetic turf fields up at the high school, the synthetic turf ball fields. So this would be the fields that are being funded by the bond, and also being funded by $250,000 from TPA money, tourism promotionary money, and also $100,000 from the grant that council approved last year from CIP.
Last week or the week before?
That was last week.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that too.
Okay. There was also the Turney Place groundbreaking. We had two groundbreakings last week. The other one was Turney Place. Thank you all that were able to show up. I also welcomed people to the NSA, the National Softball Association World Series that occurred, and we had about 50 to 55 teams participate in 3 different cities, Marysville, Monroe, and Everett, and we held the welcoming ceremonies this year. So I was able to get up and welcome everybody to our community. We had teams from as far south as California, as far north as British Columbia, all the way out to Nevada. A number of Washington teams were represented, including Snohomish, which must be where the Monroe folks come from also. I think it was one of those blended elite teams. But I don't know.
Several different clubs are on there.
Okay. I also went out and visited the Housing Hope site and have put that down as a tour for this month. We didn't have a tour for this month scheduled, so we'll be doing a tour if anybody's interested in going. And I know two people have RSVP'd already to go tour the Housing Hope site. That is this Thursday, I think, at 4:30. And please don't wear your high heels and your flip-flops. It is an active construction site, so I would encourage you to wear shoes that are appropriate for an active construction site.
You're that handle?
Still
do. No,
also attendance to Homish County Cities in Everett on Thursday night, and we got the legislative update. And if there's anything that was earth shattering for us, we did have one thing: the liquor tax has been revised so that we will be getting more revenue in the upcoming years from liquor tax revenue. So that's something that'll benefit our general fund. On Saturday, I had a meeting that took up most of the afternoon, followed by attending the Chamber Night at the Speedway. And while I did spin out the car, my son thinks I took first place, but that's okay, because I think the person that shot by me and that went into first place, did he get into an accident after he shot by me? It's all good. Anyway, Linwood took the first place trophy, and I didn't damage the car, which was good. Let me see. Anything else for this week? Can't think of anything else in unique for this week. And Gene, do you want to go ahead and before we're going to talk about OPMA?
That's all I have.
Okay.
So I wanted to just close the loop on a question that Councilmember Campbell had last week when we were talking about noticing for public events like ribbon cutting and that type of thing. You probably saw that I sent a notice off to council in regards to the train place ribbon cutting. Liz and I did talk to Zach about noticing, and he's prepared to kind of weigh in on that discussion and give you his legal review.
Thank you, Gene. My understanding is that there's just a question as to whether or not the city can or should notice particular events where a quorum of council may be present, even if it's not technically going to be a meeting. And technically, under the State Open Public Meeting Act, there is a provision in RCW 4230.070 that provides that it is not a violation of state law for a quorum of council members to gather for purposes of travel or social events, as long as they don't take action as it's defined in the OPMA. For that reason, if you want to split hairs, it's possible to attend an event like a social gathering, a ribbon cutting, etc., even if there are four or more of you present there, and not violate the Open Public Meeting Act, as long as you're not talking about city business or discussing things with constituents or doing anything else that's defined as action under the statute. Notwithstanding that, it is a common practice and is certainly my recommendation to be conservative in this context. For the city, whenever it knows that there will likely be a quorum of council members present, to issue a special meeting notice in advance of the event and just let the public know that there is in fact a possibility that the quorum may be present, and just clarify that the notice is being issued out of an abundance of caution, that no action is anticipated to be taken, but it avoids any perception issue whatsoever. That's a very common, basic, simple, and inexpensive measure that I believe is certainly well conceived, and it's certainly my recommendation for the council to do that. But it's not technically required, as long as the council is not going to be doing anything that could be construed as action, quote unquote. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. It's very, very frustrating to me that what you're recommending there, Attorney Lill, about doing public notice when we all have attended these ribbon cuttings and things like that. It's definitely not a meeting. It definitely does not fall under the OPMA. So I personally take offense to that, but since it's looking out for the best interest of the city, I can understand what you're advising. Can we focus just on those official city-type events and quit bringing up like ribbon cuttings of private businesses? Because it, to me, it just irritates. I mean, it's really an irritant to me because it's a private event. We can all go to private events. We can all go to civic clubs. We can all go to the Y or a church and all be there and be totally fine. So why should we keep bringing up private events? I'd really love to just focus on official city events and not keep rehashing this. That's my opinion.
Okay. So what you're saying is not to not mention them, but what you're saying is not to notice ribbon cuttings like that the chamber does. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'd love it if we'd say the Route 2 is having, you know, the ribbon cutting on Thursday. Hope you can make it. Next, not. Please let us know if you're going to make it. We need to let everybody know and create this false panic that's not even needed.
So. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I think I totally understand the reasons why you've done it up to this point. That's why I asked the question, right? I mean, that goes back, you know, previous, and we've always been really diligent about that because of history and all that kind of stuff. My question was just, I just wanted that, you know, look, if we know that there's four that they're going to be there, and we know it in advance, and we can notice, I don't have a problem with noticing. My big thing was is that, you know, hey, there's going to be times where, you know what, I can't make it, but then a meeting, we all have, we, you know, definitely don't live off of city council salary. We all have people, jobs and lives, and meetings get canceled, that sort of thing. And hey, guess what, I can go to the ribbon cutting. I just didn't want it to be a deterrent from any, you know, saying, well, you know, you didn't respond in time, so you can't go type of deal. And just, what's the legality of that? I'm hearing there is none. So if we continue the practice of basically, we will always let people know if we know, based on, you know, hey, we put the invite out there. Please let us know if you know, because then we can, you know, to do our due diligence or overly cautious or what was that, out of an abundance of caution from Zach's. I'm fine with that. I just wanted to, you know, where, you know, basically, okay, you know, Kurt, you didn't respond in time, and you know, now you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't show up. I just wanted to know if it just didn't sound right to me.
If I could.
Yes.
I think that the point's well taken, and just for the council's clarification, I think this came up during the OPMA training at the beginning of the year. If you do find yourself any situation, whether it's a private event or a public event or on a street corner or a bus somewhere, and there happened to be a quorum of you, it's a good idea to immediately eliminate the quorum if it hasn't been noticed as a meeting, and certainly avoid talking about any city business. And as long as you do that, there really isn't a legal concern. The OPMA is pretty clear about that. The reason that I always recommend, out of an abundance of caution, that the city provide more notice rather than less, is that I'm unaware in the history of Washington State where any city has been taken to task successfully by providing more notice in these circumstances than less. And for the minimal effort necessary to issue a notice like that, to me, it puts the issue to bed, and for legal and perception purposes, which, as you know, can sometimes become intertwined, fairly or unfairly, it just makes sense. But getting down to the brass tacks, as Councilmember Gamble indicated, it's not technically required. Recommended, certainly a best practice in my opinion, but not technically required.
Cool. Councilmember Gamble, you still have the floor? Anything further?
No, that's it. I got the answer I was looking for.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Kovac.
Yeah, I can understand the frustration and you know, feeling like maybe we are doing something that we don't absolutely have to, or if it deters people from attending, or I didn't say I was going to go and then don't. But I think it's good practice if we can, because of perception. Because I've been on council 6 years, and I know at some point there was perception of, you know, gathering, if they saw four council members at a social gathering, that then they perceived something was going on. So I think that's a valid, and I don't hear that now, but I think part of it is because we are doing really great job of getting out and being around and being accessible and providing notice. And so I think that's just important moving forward. And I like it that it feels like the city is very collaborative in attending and encouraging us being out and attending these functions, because what I hear from businesses and downtown and others is, boy, the city's showing up and council members are coming, and isn't this great? So I think anytime we can encourage that type of behavior from us, and I know we're all busy and can't make everything, but it really seems like a lot of us have been making the attempt and at least somebody's showing up, and I just commend everybody for doing that. And moving forward, we just, you know, make sure we cover our bases and make sure the perception out there is that we're not doing business behind doors or in a group outside, and continue to attend as many events in the city as possible. And I like getting notice of the events, and so I find that helpful. So.
All right, anything further on this matter? All right, Chief, go ahead. The agendas.
Okay, the draft agenda for Tuesday, July 28th, 2015. Your announcements and presentations. Gene Lansford will be here giving a land sales update. We should have an update on the urban meeting. In the consent agenda and our unfinished business, we have the 2015 comprehensive plan update. We're discussing the garbage contract schedule. Under new business, we'll be looking at the lodging tax advisory committee member appointments. And then we'll be discussing utility rate study results. Final action. Final action, we have the 2015 comprehensive plan update, estimated completion date, and then under tentative, we have downtown banners. Council might remember, we talked about this a week or so ago, and we'll have pricing and some examples. Any additions or deletions? Councilmember Herring?
Yes, at the request from a previous discussion, I'd like to ask that we add a new business item for an extension to the Growth Management Board for East Monroe, if another council member might support that.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you requested.
East Monroe extension to the Growth Management Board, asking for that to be placed on the agenda next week.
Thank you. Okay, anything further for the agenda for next week?
Thank you.
Okay. Neither will I. Okay. Anything for the extended agenda?
The only topic I have is the downtown parking. We spoke of this evening, and we could potentially put that on August 11th if that works for council.
Councilmember Rasmussen? Okay.
So, run another race.
Possibly.
So we'll add the downtown parking to August 11th. All right, anything further for the extended agenda? Please note that we have canceled the August 4th business meeting for Night Out Against Crime. And we have no other business for this evening?
We didn't notice that. Serious.
Oh my gosh, it's probably going to be a majority of council members tonight out against crime. But I'm just saying.
And we'll do it. It's not an issue at all.
It's a special city business.
Yeah. Well, that one actually qualifies.
Yes.
Councilmember Hanford.
Vote to adjourn.
Second. Yeah, first from Councilmember Hanford, second from Councilmember Campbell. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn?
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.